Presented here is a free teaser for this month's edition of the Top Rope Nation Classics Patreon bonus podcast. Every single month, we release a deep dive on a classic wrestling event as voted on by our supporters on Patreon. It's a true historical deep dive. The only place to hear these shows in full? Join the Patreon page for just $5 per month. The link is right here in the podcast description. Patreon is the best way to support the show. So click that link in the episode description and read all about it. It's patreon.com/topropenation and enjoy this special free preview. Ah, yes, everybody. It's time to go retro again. Top Rope Nation Classics, the 40th edition of Top Rope Nation Classics. 40 podcasts of our bonus show. Most podcasts do not even last 40 episodes on their main feed. We got 40 episodes of this bonus show. It's a good one. WrestleMania 17. I would say a beloved show in wrestling fandom. We'll probably have some different takes on this from all around the spectrum here with all three Top Rope Nation hosts. It's Ryan Droste, Justin Joint, Kyle Ross, all on the line. You know, lately we haven't done a lot of shows together, guys, because of our differing schedules. So, Kyle, it's good to talk to you again here live, my friend. How are you doing?
Oh boy, we're pulling ourselves out from March Madness. Feel like I've been in front of the old tube for 4 days straight, and that's because I have been in front of the tube for 4 days straight. Two weekends in a row. Actually went to a resort 2 weekends ago. It was very fun in upstate New York with some colleagues. We behaved like complete animals and won a few of the games. Thankfully, it was actually a marketing event. It was like a watch party. Is how we marketed it. And we proceeded to alienate everyone in the sports book within 1 hour because we were all in Tennessee when clearly everyone else there bet Duke, and we were like yelling like what kind of idiot would bet Duke, and a lot of people emptied out. So from a marketing perspective, the event could have been more successful, but we won a lot. That was good. And now I am here to discuss, of course, my second love in this world, professional wrestling. And there is no one I would rather do it more with than you two fine gentlemen.
Aw.
Second love. Shocking. I would have assumed this was your first love. No offense to your wife upstairs, but I mean.
Oh, I mean, this is my third love. Hey, last year when it was more first love, when we were in 1987, it was my first love. I got a few things to say about 2001 and the World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, boy.
That WrestleMania 3 show last year was an epic one. That might be the best classics of all time. We've got, when it comes to WrestleMania season, we got to live up to that. So we'll see how this one goes. But I do know last month when we did classics, we got a little inebriated here on the pod, and we'll see how this one goes. But I've got my tequila over there. It's ready to go, just like last month. I'm not starting with the tequila. I got an IPA here. But yeah. Justin, how are you doing? What do you got?
I'm doing good. Real quick, do you have that Eddie Kingston soundbite queued up in case we need it during the show?
You know, yes. Oh man, I need to get it. I need to get it because that was tremendous.
But no, I'm doing good. I'm excited to talk about WrestleMania X7, which, if you guys did not know, is a celebration of life.
Oh yes, that opening was a little over the top.
Just a little.
The most like ridiculous, we'll talk about it, but the most ridiculous like stock footage you can put together with those clips. I mean,
it's funny that they say that because I don't know, man. It might be a celebration of life, but until it all dies, I suppose.
Yikes.
Not talking about Fred Blassie, God rest his soul, either.
Yeah.
He didn't. Was he gone like a year later? After
this,
I don't think it was that much longer. I can't remember if he was still doing it by 20.
He died in 03. So yeah, like 2 years later.
2 years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he had done like they used him, I feel, for like some big rah-rah speech during the invasion, didn't they?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I remember a few things. By the way, I'm glad you reminded me, Ryan, of just how hammered we were for that WrestleWar 91. I remember being done with that, being like, God, was that good. I can't remember. Like I went upstairs, like you know, just to peel the curtain back. I was straight stumbling. Like by the end of that show, I was legit hammered. Yeah. I think actually 10 minutes into the show, I was hammered.
I was feeling pretty good.
The feedback was great.
I was going to say, yeah. Luckily, everybody seemed to enjoy it.
Yes. So if you guys are joining us for the live feed right now, let us know in the chat. We can get you involved. Of course, thank you to the patrons who make these bonus shows possible. There will be a teaser of this on the main feed. But as always, I'm expecting this to go 2 hours plus. This will be exclusive for the patrons. You all, you see the names going across the bottom of the screen. You all make it all possible, of course, each and every month. And we thank each and every one of you. So, all right, talking about WrestleMania 17, 2001, WWF, state of the fandom. Where were you at in life? Justin, let me start with you. What were you up to in early April of 2001?
I was in the process of flunking out of college. Not flunking, but like basically getting ready to quit because my heart just wasn't into it. And it would be about 10 years before I went back. But partying with my friends, chasing girls, watching a lot of pro wrestling. That was about the extent of it, man.
Well, you're about 5 months away at this point, I think, from your life being totally changed.
Meeting Ryan Drosty.
That's right. I didn't know if you knew what I was going to be referring to.
Yeah, we met about 5 months after this show. Arrogant move, that was. Talk about that WrestleMania show open. Jesus, that gave that ad copy some run for its money.
Well, because I was thinking, you got me for a second. I was like, wait, 5 months, is that when I turned 21? Because that was right around the same time.
Oh, I know you were 21 because you were buying some booze for me after we met. So
some real shit booze.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it was for me. This is like near the height of my wrestling fandom. WWF ran a house show here in our hometown like a month before this. Austin was at the show. Taker, Triple H, all of them pretty much but Rock were on that show. That was a big one. And I watched this one live with a few friends at a buddy's house. Did you watch this live, Justin?
No, I don't think I was able to see it until, you know, it came out to rent. Cause the thing that sticks out in my mind is I remember, obviously I was logged on and paying attention to the results and whatnot, but we'll get into it, but seeing the still of Austin and Vince McMahon shaking hands was just kind of engraved in my mind, like, what the fuck?
All right, so we mentioned at the top that over the top intro, scenes all over the world, people watching WrestleMania highlights in the what were they like, in the desert, in the backs of cars, in these garages. I mean, it was just seemed like this just stock footage where they just laid over WWF on these TVs everywhere. I thought it was not good.
Really? I actually thought it was good.
I will say at the time I thought it was kind of cool, but looking back, I was like, man, this is pretty lame. These people aren't watching pro wrestling. I mean, come on.
I think it's got to be better than every other WrestleMania opening promo than, you know, in the last 20 years.
Probably.
That's not a high bar, but
not as good as Vince reading over all the 30 names in the 92 Rumble. I know that.
Never gonna live that down.
Here's the stats on the show before we go any further. All right, so this show, according to WrestleNomics, did 970,000 North American buys, which was the most ever for the WWF, WWE. Worldwide, 1,024,000 is the estimate, which there's some others on the worldwide numbers that crept up to that, maybe even surpass it. But North American buys, this was the most ever. The previous year, WrestleMania 2000 did 824,000 worldwide buys and probably 757 North American, according to WrestleNomics. It was up substantially. The attendance, 67,925, of which 62,885 was paid. They did a gate of $3,530,905 per the Wrestling Observer newsletter. That was double the previous North America gate record, which was set at WrestleMania 5 back in 1989. It was the second largest North American crowd ever at the time, only behind WrestleMania 3. They did $1.1 million in merchandise sold at the event. The previous merchandise record was $540,000 at WrestleMania 3.
And we should point out that this is the return to a dome for WrestleMania. Had not been in a dome since 8, right?
Yeah, 9 years. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was another thing about it, just the mystique of this show at the time. It was so cool to see them in a setting that big. You know, they had done like the Alamo Dome, but it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, the show, when you watch it, it does feel big. It feels like a big event, especially when you factor in an all-time, and Kyle, feel free to step out of the conversation here, an all-time stage design. Mm-hmm. I mean, the entire production of the show looks fantastic. It's the first time that they utilize the colored spotlights on the floor near the risers, which became a staple for WrestleManias and then their normal shows afterwards. It looks really good. And actually, speaking of which, Kyle, you listened to Bruce Pritchard on this show, or you at least tried to?
I actually made it all the way through.
On the Facebook page, I told you that it was basically a nothing burger, but I did find there's one thing I thought was interesting. And that one thing is something that had bothered me about this show for years that doesn't involve a heel turn. And that is the WrestleMania on the side is like cut off.
Mm-hmm.
And I never understood why that was, but that's because it was supposed to be much higher, but that was going to block the seats behind it, which were already paid for. So they basically had to like saw it off and drop it down because, you know, those tickets were bought and paid for and they couldn't block those seats.
Oh, I must have walked away during that part. Oh, I'm glad you caught that. Okay.
I did not know that. Yeah, I thought it looked great too. Seeing the Astrodome was cool. I mean, it hadn't been that long since the Astros had played there. I looked it up. It was what, 99 was their last year, the Astrodome. So they had played one full season out there. But it was this aging, but also kind of legendary venue. So it was cool that they were running that stadium for the first stadium show in forever. And yeah, to your point, it looked great. I did not know that about the colored spotlights. It's a cool little factoid.
So the Astros were on to Enron Field.
Oh, yeah. Let's do a whole podcast on Enron. Could do that, I'm sure. Jeez,
I mean, the McMahons would get along great.
Yes. All right. So
probably used to work for Enron.
We get Jim Ross and Paul Heyman welcoming us to the show, and we open up.
Whoa! We got a lot to go over here. Paul Heyman? We got it. This is the only Paul Heyman WrestleMania, and.
Oh, man, you are going for that 3-hour run timer.
Well, see, I'm not as high on most of these matches as you guys are, so I can blow through them. I like have one thing to say. But, like, one thing that was a positive from that something to wrestle with, Justin, I was very pleased to hear Bruce putting over Paul Heyman. Because, dude, if there is one thing that I did like about 2001 WWE a lot, was Paul Heyman being in place of Jerry Lawler.
Yes.
And Bruce even said how taken aback he was, how much Heyman knew about the current storylines, and that he was more knowledgeable about the storylines than fucking Lawler was.
that's the least surprising thing ever.
Yeah. But no.
Yeah, Heyman was great. Yeah.
Yeah. He has a lot of great lines, and I thought him and JR worked tremendously together in 2001. The first thing that I used to be a big Bill Simmons fan. Justin, big Bill Simmons fan. Same. The first thing he ever said that pissed me off was him whining, why don't they bring Jerry Lawler back for Paul?
Oh,
Heyman?
No. I don't remember that.
It was back when the blog was yellow page two.
I spent a lot of my, ironically, journalism class periods in high school reading Bill Simmons. Yeah, I remember that layout. I liked him a lot then, too. But that is a bad take, Bill. Sports guy wasn't having it there. All right, so Jericho defending the IC title against William Regal opens. Ironically, of course, both spent time in AEW these days. Regal has left, but he was there for a while, so you get some AEW presence here. Yeah.
Pop quiz. Up to this point, this was only the second time ever that the IC title opened WrestleMania. Can you name the other one?
Michael Tatanka.
You son of a bitch.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, the early WrestleManias you're not getting. If you ask me what I had for lunch today, I'd black out. But those early WrestleManias, I know like the back of my hand.
By the way, although I have a hard time remembering yesterday these days. Yeah.
I don't like William Regal anymore, by the way.
Oh, why is that?
CM Punk doesn't like him.
I need to have
this confirmed if him and FTR Bald really went up to Regal and called him a Triple H stooge as soon as Regal got hired.
That's funny.
I know CM Punk's an asshole, but I like him.
Same.
You Triple H stooge? Right after he's hired?
All right, so
spot of pee.
All right, let's get to this match. Meltzer gives it 2 stars. I think he's a little hard on it, to be honest with you. I think this happened these days, he's probably going 3.5 on this match.
Well, yeah, because Jericho told him to.
Yeah.